I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful you are here. Praise God. Remember to keep Pastor Rick, Pastor Brian in prayer. They're out in Boise this week. Should be leaving tomorrow, I think. So keep them in prayer. Always keep ministry in prayer. You know why? We have to hear from God. And we got to hear it right. So we want to hear from God the right way. So far, so good. Even when we didn't hear from God through the years, God has been good to visit us. That's always been good. He said he would. That's the good part. We talked about the believer, didn't we? Are you ready to take the believer to the next place? You know, all of this the Lord has done graciously and perfectly, has just set up everything for us. If you watch the story that God put us in, what an amazing journey. I mean, I'm kind of still starstruck, so to speak, and I use that word specifically because when the Lord is the morning star and he just keeps appearing to you and talking to you, well, you kind of can be a little starstruck sometimes. And the idea that God would put together such a masterpiece. We know the Bible is the greatest book ever in this planet that we can read. But the story that God puts in your heart, that's amazing. You don't want to miss out on that. You know, you don't want to be the person that just jumps from one place to another, to another, to another, to another, and think you're going to, well, this fits my life today, and this fits my life tomorrow, and talking about the words of God and the scriptures and things like that. You want to allow God to actually put you in play of a story, because if you're in a story, you know what that means? You start out young, and you grow up. And you know what that means, don't you? That one day you're going to reach the place where, man, God's talking to you and you're talking to God, and it's to a point where God's going to wrap it up and finish the story. And so that's pretty cool. Not that the story will ever officially end, because eternity, that's a long time, isn't it? But the Lord's been faithful to us. So I want to continue on the believer. But I want to take it to another place. I want to bring the journey in a continuance to what God is doing. I appreciate what has been preached by the other elders. I appreciate what Keith preached Wednesday night. I was really excited about that, the Jew and the Gentile. But you know what? I was very excited about that because I know what God is doing and where we're going. The revelation of Jew and Gentile is not necessarily the forefront of what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, if you look, if Keith was here, he couldn't be here this morning, but guaranteed, if you were to ask him, what was my point that night, it's the new man. It was the new man. And he used the Jew and Gentile to basically say that God is going to bring a new man out from everywhere. From Jew, from Gentile, it doesn't matter. From the righteous, from the heathen, God will save it all. That's awesome. So the context, in listening to him preach, was definitely that God will make one new man. Who is that? I mean, we're talking about Jesus Christ now, aren't we? And so that's awesome. The idea of the Jew and Gentile, we're going to get to, very much so. I'm excited because the revelation in that is going to be profound. You're going to learn things, I guarantee it. But there are things that the Lord is still continually to do right now. Making that new man is hot on the list, man. It's fresh in the mind. Is that the believer, that new man? Is the Holy Ghost the believer? Is Jesus the believer? Is the apostles the believer? Is the pastors the believers and the evangelists and the city of God? All of it, right? The righteous are the believers. But think about this. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about your Jesus experience. Because what happened was, when you have promises that haven't come to pass yet, what do you need? You need an experience with Jesus, because that's the only thing that's going to fulfill your promises. And so you get to these apostles, and here's where I want to go. Because the believer, we've been talking about that, but it's time to get to the Holy Ghost. It's time to get to the Holy Ghost. It's time to be filled with the Holy Ghost now, for those that have it. Because when you get to the New Testament and you watch Jesus start promoting the will of God and revealing He is the Christ, the Son of God, the true Messiah. Jesus started showing up and talking to him. And so you take a guy like Peter. Peter was interesting. He walked the journey with Jesus in the flesh, didn't he? Did he struggle? Why? He had Jesus. Say, well, Jesus had an impact on Peter. Yes, he did. But Peter struggled, didn't he? So did all the disciples. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, who was Jesus, was still outside of them, not inside of them. And all of a sudden, it makes sense. No wonder you would struggle with your walk with God is because, well, you need Jesus in you, not just outside of you. So if you come to church and you're like, well, I need to be taught every week by an outside source, what's that tell you? I need something inside to teach me on a greater level, right? That's what the Holy Ghost is for. We're going to get there. What you notice begin to happen here is you take Jesus, who showed these disciples over and over who he was. He revealed himself. He took them on a journey. And I don't know how many of you read my teaching on Friday that I wrote on my website. That was kind of a setup to today. I want to talk to you about the Holy Ghost for a few minutes. The Holy Ghost is the greatest thing you will ever receive. You say, well, that I thought Jesus was. It is Jesus. But it's Jesus in you in a greater awareness. It's the most amazing thing. Jesus made some promises in John before he left. He said, I have to go away. But don't worry, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you a comforter. And he says, when this comforter comes, he's going to reveal all things to you. Now, right now, I'm telling you all things, but you can't perceive it. Does that sound like anybody? Like, yeah, I hear the preaching, but yeah, it's going over my head a little bit. Well, Jesus is kind of acknowledging that. He even says, you can't understand everything I'm saying. So don't worry. I'm going to send a comforter, and he's going to tell you everything I told you, and you're going to get it. You know what? He said the most amazing thing, John. He said, I am with you, but I shall be in you. On that day, I will talk to you by the Holy Ghost. Because you know what the Holy Ghost does? It only talks about Jesus. See, you could tell a person that don't have the Holy Ghost. You know why? They only talk about themselves. They only need help about themselves. Everything's about me. When you got the Holy Ghost, Micah, all you talk about is Jesus. And I don't take that like a law, like I can't say anything but about Jesus today. No, that's not what we're saying. Your testimony and your witness is about Jesus, not yourself. That's what the Holy Ghost does. And so the Lord began to set it up for him. Don't worry, I'm going to come give you my Jesus experience. It's like, okay, but I have you, Jesus. No, you have me in front of you. I got to go away. I'm going to leave this place, and I'm going to show up and talk to you. And then you're going to start to see what I've been talking about this whole time. And you got to look at this. Jesus connected all the dots of the Old Testament and said, here I am, but you still don't believe me all the way. You need a true experience for yourself. And so today we look at this and we go, this is an interesting situation. Like, I believe in Jesus. You're telling me that's not good enough? No, it's good enough to believe in Jesus. But who wants to stop there? See, you can believe in Jesus and follow Jesus and even be faithful in a lot of things. But don't you want to experience Jesus? Because if you just believe in Jesus, will you still struggle? You will. But if you're a believer that has Jesus in them and you become Jesus, so to speak, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Does that change you? You're no longer just believing in Jesus because he's telling you everything you need to know. And this is what happened with these disciples. It's the most interesting thing. He went and died and rose again. You know what happened to him? Then he appeared with a spiritual body. See, Jesus was awesome. He connected the dots. He was an earthly man, and he talked to him that way. Then, before the Holy Ghost, he came back to him and says, "Here I am, I resurrected. Look, it's me. I'm Jesus, but no more flesh and blood. This is my spiritual body. This is my resurrected body." So now he linked them between the man Jesus and the spiritual resurrected Jesus. But there was still one thing missing. What was it? The resurrected Jesus was still outside of them. It was still outside of them. So while they were awed and amazed at trying to perceive this Christ, all of a sudden it came to a head that they needed something more. And this is where you have to get to if you're going to move forward in the revelations of heaven. You go to a place where the Holy Ghost begins to be poured out and life changes completely. So he appears to them one last time and says, "Go tarry in Jerusalem," right? Until you be filled with the Holy Ghost. He ascended to heaven and they watched him go. Can you imagine all of that? That's amazing. Now the Holy Ghost comes and all of a sudden, life-changing experience. What's the first thing you notice about the Holy Ghost? Well, fire of tongues, right? But the first thing you notice in Acts chapter 2 is the transformation of Peter. That's got to be one of the most dominant things that's got to stand out to you, built upon all the gospels, is the transformation that took place in Peter after the Holy Ghost. See, here's what happened to Peter. Peter was a man who struggled to follow the Lord because of his traditions. He had a lot of them. He was Jew. He believed in the traditions and even sympathized for it. But when Jesus filled him with the Holy Ghost, it was like putting on a new garment. It was like giving him new eyes, new ears. And all of a sudden, you're going to see one of the most masterful teachings you have ever seen in the Bible in Acts chapter 2. Peter began to link all the prophets of the Old Testament to the Christ, to the anointed one, to Jesus. And all of a sudden, everything he preached was about Jesus. Every testimony he had was about Jesus. Isn't it interesting that Peter still thought about himself before Jesus died? Did he deny Christ? Now that's amazing. You're talking about a man who had visitations of God while he was with Jesus. Spiritual visitations with God. Did he not? He had them, man. He was on the mount. He was there at Transfiguration. He was there when Jesus told him, "Flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you, my Father in heaven." Peter got spiritual things, but yet he still denied the Lord. Why? Because he saw the glory of God. He didn't partake of it. Does that make sense to you? Some of you have heard the word of God and you've experienced it in a sense of hearing it and believing it. Don't you think it's time for it to enter you and take on and take over your life? That's the Holy Ghost, man. That's when Jesus says, I have left this world in the flesh and you don't have to follow me in the flesh anymore. Now you're going to follow me by the Spirit. The reason why we need pastors in this life, because we're weak. We're weak, let's face it. We need people to help us, don't we? Now, as a human being, we're all frail in that sense, so we need one another. That's the awesomeness of God allowing this weakness to work, and yet we can learn from it so greatly. What do we learn? We learn to trust in God. But once the Holy Ghost enters in, man, things begin to change. And you notice that with the apostles. Everything about them took on a new light. The lens that they were looking out of now was through the eyes of Jesus. When they saw a prophet now, they said, oh, he was talking about Jesus. It's like Peter's preaching in the book of Acts chapter 2, and he says, you know, when David saw the Lord sitting on his throne and he prophesied that you shall not leave my soul in hell, Peter goes, yeah, he was talking about the resurrection of Christ. All of a sudden, Peter could give the interpretation of what these prophets were saying. You know why? Because he had Jesus in him now. And he could do it. And, you know, we think about the Holy Ghost. And put up Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I want you to look at this on the screen for a second. This is going to tell you what the Holy Ghost is for. Jesus is telling his disciples, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world, of the earth. Now notice something here. That word come upon, did you know that's the exact same thing that Gabriel told Mary? That the Holy Ghost would come upon you. What happened to Mary? She birthed a son. What do you think is going to happen to you? But check this out. Check this out. Don't get it confused. You're like, oh, I got to still birth a son. No. Understand where I'm coming from. Like, Mary birthed an earthly son. And then the Son, Jesus, went forth and became the Christ. He was the promise to all of us to overcome sin. When this come upon takes place, it's talking about birth a son. Who's that son going to be? You. It's going to be you. You hear that, Micah? It's you now. You say, well, wait, you got the Holy Ghost is supposed to birth Jesus. Already did that. If you're coming to the Holy Ghost, who's already present? Jesus. Has Mary already birthed him? Yes. So at this point, when he says the Holy Ghost will come upon you, he's saying, I'm about to birth you now. Jesus has been birthed. The Son of God is in the world. He's already preached the gospel, resurrected, and went back to heaven. Now it's time for the sons of God to come forth. In manifestation. But here's the thing. Are we talking about just any sons of God? Are we talking about the Israel son of God? The ones that didn't believe God? No. We're talking about the sons of God that the earth and the world has been groaning to see. That God has birthed the sons of God that are the Jesus sons. The Jesus people, so to speak. It's like, you could tell a person that has been with Jesus. You can tell it. You could tell, well, let's just say I can tell now. A person that believes in Jesus versus a person who has been with Jesus, who has been possessed by Jesus. You say, what's the Holy Ghost? Possession, man. It's when Jesus, the Spirit of God, comes in the family of God and possesses you, and you become not just a witness speaking about Jesus, you are the witness of Christ. And that's why it's interesting when we talk about the Holy Ghost. We go, well, the Holy Ghost is for tongues and interpretation of tongues. Man, that's awesome. But that's just a part. The Holy Ghost is for prophecy. Yeah, that's just a part. The Holy Ghost is for remembrance. Yeah, but that's just a part. The Holy Ghost is to have dreams and visions. Yeah, he said he'd pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall have visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. But that's just a part. What is the fullness? What is the fullness? Is it Jesus? Is it the revelation of Jesus? In other words, you say, well, I want the Holy Ghost. Tell me why. Well, I want to dream more. Wrong. Give me the Holy Ghost. Why? So I can interpret tongues. Wrong. You follow my drift? Well, give me the Holy Ghost. Why? So I can prophesy. Wrong. I'll tell you why you need the Holy Ghost. So you can be in Jesus, and Jesus can be in you, and you can be in the Father, and the Father can be in you. Oneness to where Jesus takes over your life and you become the Christ of God. Isn't that what these apostles became? Everywhere they went. The only reason Paul ever talked about his own experiences in life is to teach those of his children in the gospel that had to understand the suffering that they're going to have to go through as a son of God. It was all about suffering for Jesus. All of that stuff, right? So you notice something here. We say, well, I need to escape Adam. Is that right? Some of you are learning you're just in Adam. Some of you need to learn you're in Adam. Now, the reason why I say that is because in Adam all died. There's a death and a sin that comes with Adam. So, well, I've known that for a long time. Watch. I know it when you know it, because the Spirit of God will show you when you know it, and it's different than just knowing it by somebody preaching it. You see where I'm going? In other words, you can hear it preached for a long time. That's the disadvantage you have being born in the years that we've been born in, is that we've heard Jesus all our life. I know Jesus is the Savior, do we? See, I want to say that until the Holy Ghost comes, that's the connection between us and the Bible. The Holy Ghost. We could preach and teach the Bible all day long. What good is it? Tell me, what good is it? Well, there is some good. I'll tell you what it is. It has caused you to follow after truth. That's good. Now, but when you get in the midst of it, is that all we got, Lord? Have you ever asked that question? What else is there? Is this it, Lord? Is this it? Is this, I read the Bible. It looks different. That's what we said. It looks different than what we're doing right now. It looks different. Even now today, everybody. Are there things that you read in the Bible and go, wait, that looks a little different than what I'm experiencing? It should provoke you. It should provoke you to want to see more. And you know what? God did not leave us out in the dark. He said, I will come to you. So whether it be the disciples or 2,000 years later, disciples, did he say, I will come to you? Did he say, I will fill you with my Spirit? See, here's the cool part. In the Bible, you have the Old Testament, and then you have Jesus come, and he connected himself to the Old Testament. So he connected the new to the old. It's like I wrote this past weekend. Jesus came and saved the Old Testament. Even the Bible went through a salvation as we know it. That's pretty awesome. So Jesus came and saved the Old Testament. But then Jesus went away. And then the apostles came, got filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, then they connected through the Holy Ghost. They connect us to the New Testament and the Old Testament, the salvation. And so here we are. 2,000 years later, can we experience what the New Testament is? Yes, but how? I'm just telling you, everybody, right now, if you've learned anything about the Bible, you got to know this one very important truth, okay? Could the disciples, Tim, walk fully in the Spirit while Jesus was there? No. Why?
Because he had to go to the Father and then send the comfort to them.
That's true. That's true. But let's think of it in something else. And that's true. He had to go and the Comforter would have to come. But there's another reason why they couldn't. What do you think it is? What? They only saw him as a man. Is that true? In other words, is it possible that today the very same thing could happen to us? Well, you guys up there preaching every week, and yeah, I hear you every week. You guys ever going to change anything around? You guys ever going to preach anything different? Well, if you look at the Bible, it's all the same. When did they ever change preaching the same thing? It was the same thing. Why does the same thing need to be preached all the time? Because that's the Holy Ghost in us bringing to remembrance continually. But here's the problem. We're outside of you, not inside of you. Now, amazing, isn't it? Now, I remember first dream I ever had. This is going to sound crazy, but, you know, Rick taught me as a man, and I followed him just like the disciples would have followed Jesus in that category. But I followed him as my teacher. And one time, I had a dream. But in this dream, he was there. But it wasn't, well, it started out him in the flesh. But then the Lord allowed me to enter in his consciousness and see his revelation. And all of a sudden, I entered his revelation and he entered mine. I saw Rick differently after that. How do you think I saw him now? Not just as a man. I saw him as the word of the Lord. Because the spirit of the new man, the believer was in him, was greater than just a man. See, when we get in a routine of coming to church every week and talking to people in the flesh, it's easy to just talk to a person in the flesh, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Can you look past that and see the Christ? The point is, what's the key to getting past the flesh? A Jesus experience, which is what? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's got to work in you. Now you say, well, but didn't Peter have a Jesus experience, so to speak, while he was with Jesus? Yeah, he did. But notice, like we've always taught, does it all grow? Higher, 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 higher. Higher, higher. Next, next, next experience, next experience. And they all link to the same thing. If you notice, the Holy Ghost is given to reveal Jesus Christ in who he really is. Now, something I want to address before we go. In California, I preached a scripture that says the Holy Ghost was not poured out yet because Jesus was not yet glorified. I want to clarify something too. Back to Peter, Micah. Peter saw the Lord glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration, didn't he? Peter saw the Lord glorified through minor witnesses. They were minor. I'm calling them minor because he didn't fully understand them yet. He was having the Lord glorified with him. You watch his progression. The Lord was glorified in him. So it was glorified, yet the Holy Ghost wasn't present yet, in a sense, on the day of Pentecost. And so when Jesus resurrected, Jesus appeared in a glorified form again. Was Peter experiencing the glorification of Christ? So what could happen? So what could happen after you begin to understand Jesus glorified? Are you ready to trust the Holy Ghost in you? That's exactly what happened to Peter. That's why his world's just flipped so incredibly. Because all of those experiences he had previously, at one moment, Holy Ghost came in and made alive every experience he ever had. And boy, did he preach it. His Jesus experience was like no other, man. His gospel that day set up the entire gospel for the whole church. It set up the whole church. Jesus said it, Brad. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Hey, Cephas, you're a rock. Upon the revelation of Jesus, you're the one that's going to bring Jesus into this world. You're the one that's going to set the stage for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're the one, Peter. You're going to bring Jesus to the church, and I'm going to establish a church, and the gospel is going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it went through Peter. You say, yeah, but I like the other apostles better. Slow down, everybody. Get in the story. Because, we preach on John, we'll preach on Paul, we'll preach on James and all of that. You've heard some great witnesses coming forth from John already. But today we're talking about Peter in the sense that the Holy Ghost did something for the world that had never been done before. It gave access to everyone to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Now, do you want to keep talking about yourself? Or do you want to keep talking about the Lord? And see, that's what's going to change in you. The Holy Ghost changes that in you. You don't see the weakness all the time. You see the glorified Christ. The Holy Ghost changes the way you speak in tongues. It gives you the language of God. So yeah, you can interpret. Yeah, you can see dreams and visions. Yeah, you can prophesy all of the above. But what does it all fit into? Jesus. The revelation of Jesus is what the Holy Ghost is about. That is the greatest revelation ever. And the awareness is that when Peter got the Holy Ghost, what did he start preaching immediately? He connected all the dots to the Old Testament. It's about the Christ. When Paul had the experience of Jesus and he saw the Lord, did he immediately go preach? Nope. Not yet. I know what you're thinking. I could have said yeah, but I wanted to emphasize one small part. The light was so bright, he didn't get it all, did he? It was so bright it blinded him. For 3 days he was in darkness. What's that tell you, Jesus? 3 days he was in darkness. And then Ananias came and said, time for the Holy Ghost. And he got the Holy Ghost, and what did he immediately go do, Megan? Preach Jesus. Confounded the Jews. That is amazing. He confounded them. Started preaching Jesus as the Christ. The strictest of Pharisees is now preaching Jesus Christ. As all the promises of the Old Testament is about Jesus now. Let me tell you, that's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. Now, you know what's interesting to me is, Keith talked about the Jew and Gentile. The Jew had the law of God. So when the Holy Ghost came, the apostles immediately preached to the Jews and showed them, hey, in the law of God, here's Jesus. But it's interesting that the message changed when they went to the Gentiles. You know why? Gentiles didn't know the law. Why would you go and try to prove all the law to the Gentiles? They have no idea what you're talking about. Does that sound like any of you? Hey, go out and take a goat and bring them in and cut them up and let's sacrifice them. What? That's what a Gentile would say. So about the law of God. They didn't know. So when the apostles started preaching Jesus to them, what'd they preach? Resurrection. The Savior of the world has come to deliver you from the sin of the world and bring you into the resurrection. Now you can be one with the body of Christ. That's what Keith preached. That was so awesome. Imagine that. So God has diversities here, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you this. You need a Jesus experience today more than anything else in this world. It will change your life. It will change your life. And if you say, I have one, then I want you to examine what part of that experience you have. Okay? This is where the honesty comes in for yourself. You say, well, I know. Well, you've been following God for a long time, haven't you? How many of you believed in Jesus? All your life, a long time. So I would never say you didn't have any experience with Jesus. I am saying there's one more experience that really, really is going to seal the deal. It's going to change your life. And trust me when I say, if you actually do want to learn spiritual, heavenly mysteries of God, it ain't going to be by this equals this and this equals this and let me read my Bible 8 hours a day so I can learn all this stuff. It's not coming that way. It's coming by the Holy Ghost. It's coming by God and the Holy Ghost connecting those dots of all the prophets. That's how awesome this is. This is what God wants to do for all of us. And the believer has got to grow. The believer's got to grow. I never took light the believer. Did any of you? No, I hope not. Because the believer is the key to coming into the Spirit. You got to believe. And you enter right in. And we're going to watch some amazing things begin to happen here. Okay? We're going to take a little bit of time. We're going to preach not only about the Holy Ghost. We're going to preach on this Christ who is the Messiah. We're going to teach you that the anointing in John, 1 John 2:27, the anointing, what is the anointing for? Put it up there. You got to let everybody see it. 1 John 2:27. You see it? Tell me what it is for. Tell me what the anointing's for. What's the core of this? It's going to teach you all things. It's going to teach you truth and will not lie to you. But what's the core thing? Oh, there you go. There you go. Now the anointing that works in you will keep you abiding in Him. You say, well, I can't. Why am I so up and down? You lack the anointing. The anointing is the thing. The anointing is the Spirit of Christ that comes on you and keeps you. It teaches you, Tim, every day how to abide in Him. You say, I want that. Yeah, it's here. And freely given. But see, that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. That's the purpose of the anointing. It's to keep you. It's to make you a witness, to fill you with power and strength to be that overcomer, to walk in the overcomer, to abide in the overcomer. But not only that, to tell everybody about Jesus in your world and outside. Isn't that awesome? So I would venture to say this. If you will put your heart to it, Rick's been preaching about the Holy Ghost for a long, long time, hasn't he? We've all preached about it. But I'm telling you, there's a timing here. There's a timing here. And if you can believe, God's going to do some great things for you. You ready for it?